Don't ever judge someone who is distant and you say, how dare this person come to church? This guy, I know exactly what he does in life. He is the greatest sinners of all. Yesterday I saw him doing this and this and this. What kind of a face he has to turn up to church today, yet I knew where he was yesterday. Don't ever judge, lest you be judged. If you find a Christian person that is the weakest of all, the dirtiest of all, the filthiest of all, and the most distant from the Lord Jesus, swimming in filth of this world, you better run to that person, hug them, embrace them, and give them courage and say to them, don't ever give up, for as long as Jesus Christ lives, you will live. Come back to the Lord. Give him courage. Do not judge. Do not look down at other Christians. But hold on to them. Hold their hand and say, if I am standing today strong in faith, brother, sister, give me your hand. Let me lift you up, because the Lord loves you the way he loves me. Come. Nothing is lost. Nothing is lost. As Christians, do we have this kind of an approach? Do we have this kind of a mentality? Do we have this kind of an insight? Or do we throw arrows at one another? We blow the trumpet the moment somebody does something wrong, and we write about it on all social media platforms. Did you know so-and-so what they've done? We tell the whole world what people have done, but we have forgotten that St. Paul says, love covers a lot of errors. Love covers a lot of errors. Love covers a lot of errors. Whoever walks through the front door of the church, it is not my business, even if I am the bishop of this church, it is not my right to question who are you and what are you and where did you come from. Even if he came out of the brothel, I will embrace that person. But not in the way, accepting the way he has chosen to live, no. But I'll embrace them in the hope and in the faith the Lord will touch their heart and make them from a sinner to a saint. But if I'm going to scan them with the latest technology of MRI and CT scan, this person will never come back to the church ever again. The Lord will lose this sheep because of me. I'll embrace you, I'll love you, and then I'll give you the third degree burns. And next time you want to go anywhere, not right, let me come. I'll come with you, bro. And then we say, what's up, brother? Don't get down, get up. What do you mean get down, bro? See, it's a negative kind of talk. Get down. What get down? Get up. Get down is a failure, is a fall. Get up, stand up, be successful. And whatever has happened in the past, it's the past, don't dwell on it. You're wasting your time, you're wasting your breath, you're wasting your energy, you're wasting above all your life, which is priceless gift from God for you and me and all of us. Just get up, dust it off and walk forward. Don't look back. And if you're ever going to look back for one reason and one reason only, to learn from the past, because that is the only place you and I can learn from. We cannot learn from the present moment. We are still living it. We cannot learn from the futuristic moment. We have not lived it yet, but it is only the past that is our school of thought, where we go back to learn from, not to dwell on and remain in that past that we cannot remain, because what is gone cannot come back again. But look back, learn from the good times and the bad times, from the light and the dark moments of that past, to make up a better future in this present moment. And you know what is so truthful? If somebody asks you, how old are you? Tell them, the bishop told me to say to you, I am 24 hours old. That's my age. Don't ever say, I'm 21, I'm 51, I'm 91. No, you're not. You are 24 hours old. That's all. You know what? Because all those years that have gone by, that's not your age. It's not yours. Can you control it? No, it's gone. Whatever hasn't come yet, it's not your age. So what is your age today? Today is the only day you have influence over. So how old are you today? 24 hours. If we are able to make one difference in this 24 hours, we've changed our entire life. See, some people sit and look back and say, where do I start? 50 years of my life. Sorry, the 50 years are not your life. They're gone. They're not your life. 50 years of my life. What do I change from these 50 years? No, the 50 years are gone. What you can change is today, because today is your life. What you have control over, that's what you own. That's what is yours. So your age is 24 hours. Can you change one thing? If you can't change one thing in it, you've changed your entire life. You've changed your entire life. How easily we get entangled with our own way of thinking and with what the world offers us. And the majority of things the world offers is nothing but a lie. Make a bright future for yourself. A bright future? What is the church? Family. 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 This is why the church is hated by the world. Because in today's gospel, the Lord Jesus says about the Holy Spirit. He says, when I send the Holy Spirit to dwell in you, He will rebuke you on three things. He will rebuke on sin, on righteousness, and on judgment. Then the Lord elaborates more and explains. He says, on sin, because they did not believe in me. On righteousness, because I am going to the Father and you will see me no more. And on judgment, for the ruler of this world is being judged. Wow. The Holy Spirit will rebuke you. When the Holy Spirit dwells in you, He will ring a bell inside of you. He will shake you. He will make you. He will break you. He will do so many things in order to get your attention. He will rebuke you on sin because they didn't believe in Jesus Christ. He will rebuke you on righteousness because I'm going to the Father and you will see me no more. And He will rebuke you on judgment, for the ruler of this world is being judged. On sin because they didn't believe in me. Every time we do not believe in Jesus Christ, we are sinning. Every time we do not believe in Jesus Christ, we are sinning. And when is it, as Christians, when is it that we don't believe in Him? Every time we make a mistake, it is an unbelief in Jesus Christ. Because if we had believed in Him, we wouldn't have sinned. When the Lord Jesus says, do not use a foul language, and I keep on using it, I am in denial of Jesus Christ. I don't believe in Him. Because if I truly believed in Him, I wouldn't have swore. When the Lord says, do not steal, and I go and steal deliberately, I am in denial of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Every time I have no faith in the Lord, I am a sinner. And on righteousness, because I'm going to the Father and you will see me no more. What does that mean? See, the Lord says, wherever your treasure is, there will be your heart as well. And heart here means your entire being. Your mind, your soul, your spirit, your thought, your entire being, wherever your treasure is, whatever your treasure is. So if your treasure is money, that's where you're going to be. If the treasure is a fame, that's where you're going to be. If the treasure is a rank, that's where you're going to be. If the treasure is a person, that's where you will be. The Lord says, if I am your treasure, then remember one thing. I have gone up and sat at the right hand of the Father. I am in the heaven of all heavens. If Jesus Christ is your treasure, my child, why are you searching for me in the streets of the city downtown? As a Christian, what are you doing in this world? Definitely you are not searching for your Lord, because Jesus Christ disapproves of this world and the way the world handles itself. So if you are truly believing in me as Jesus Christ, and if I am truly your treasure, why are you still holding on to the pleasures of this world? Why are you fighting over materialistic things? Why are you chasing temporal things? Why are you focused on your external looks rather than focusing on your internal looks? You're spending too many hours, days, weeks and months to make yourself look beautiful from outside. You're not spending one second to making your heart looking beautiful to your Messiah. The focus has shifted. And speaking of the word focus, it is one of the most precious gifts God gave the human race, the word focus. Why did God give us this gift of focus? Because God gave us this gift of focus in order to enable us to see the things He wants us to see and avoid the things He wants us to avoid. Because the moment you focus on someone, you will not see the one next to that someone. The moment you focus on one thing, everything around it is blurry. It's out of focus. So when you focus on one thing, that's all you're going to see clearly. Everything else is blurred up. And the Lord says, are you focused on me or are you focused on you? Well, if you are going to focus on yourself, then guess what? Your beginning is good, but your end will be evil. But when you focus on the Lord, you will go through trials, but the end is all light, all bright.